Jesus' name. Let's stand together if you would. Let's just bow our heads. We open the service. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to serve you. To feel that calling in our hearts to lay everything aside and to draw closer and closer to you. We love and appreciate you, Father. Thank you so much, Lord, for the salvation you've placed in our hearts, and Lord, the understanding of your word. But Lord, that's why we come, Lord, to draw closer to you. Father, for we never want to stop and feel we've made enough, Lord, but we want to always run like we've never run before. Oh God, meet each and every need tonight. Be with us, Father, as you promised you'd be with us. We thank you now. Looking to you, Father, we ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. Are you happy to be out tonight?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated if you'd like. Turn with me, if you would, over page 705, I think it is. Amen. You're all on the altar. Amen.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until on the altar. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? To be good, his sweet will, to be free from all ill, on the altar you're all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made? Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Amen. Amen.
The more you surrender to Him, saints,
closer you'll be. Amen. Page 245. Amen. Amen. Have you anchored your soul? Will your anchor hold? Hallelujah. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain? Will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor, oh hallelujah, steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely moored, will the storm for 'tis well secure by the Savior's hand, and the cables pass from His heart, oh glory, can defy the blast from strength divine. We have an anchor that keeps the soul fast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It will firmly hold in the straits of fear when the breakers have told the reef is near, though the tempest wave and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall our bark overflow. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It will surely in the floods of death, when the waters cold chill our latest breath, on the rising tide it can never fail, while our hopes abide within the veil. Oh, hallelujah. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock
which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the hope.
What a day!
With the storms all past forevermore, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Amen. Are you anchored in that rock? Amen. Praise his name. Page 389. Can you read my name? Amen. It is well with my soul. It's a beautiful song, Saints. Just really listen to the words.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea bills roll, whatever my lot, thou hast called
Praise the Lord.
And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The
song without shedding a tear. Amen. I love that verse. My sin, oh, the blessed, the glorious thought, the joy of your salvation. Hallelujah. My sin, not in part, but the whole. He paid the price. Amen. He's so wonderful. Hallelujah. Brother Luke, would you like to come up and take up the offering? He's everything to me. Let's sing that together. Amen. You mean everything to you, sing. He's everything.
He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister and my brother. He's everything. Amen. If he is, sing it. Oh, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me.
He's my father, my mother, my sister and my brother. Amen. Think of what he's done for you, the price he paid. Sing it again. Amen.
Oh, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me.
He's my father,
my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything.
Love him so much.
Praise his name. How many have something on your heart, a need, a request? Amen. Just hold it on your heart if you would. Tim, Brother Tim, would you take your request? Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Do you have a special tonight? Anybody got something on your heart? Amen. Praise his name. Unless you got something? Karen, you got something? All right. Well, let's just stand then, if you would. We'll sing the little chorus, Only Believe, and ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Oh. Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we once more have come this evening and together in, Lord, we thank you for the draw that was in our hearts that's brought us here and the desire, Lord. And you know the things that you've laid upon my heart this evening to read, Lord, and how I just pray that it'll be an encouragement, Lord, a strength to someone. And Lord, may we find strength in the precious word, Lord, and knowing that you know all about us and you know where we'd be tonight, Lord, and what situation we'd be facing. But Lord, we just thank you that we know that we're safe in the palm of your hand. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon your word this evening and just pray you'll bless it into our hearts, and we'll never fail to see that you receive all of the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen. Are you happy?
Amen.
Amen. Precious songs our brother was singing, how wonderful they are. Just a few of us here tonight, but you know, we want to take the time to read into God's precious word here, some of these things, praying that it will strengthen and encourage. A very small thought and very familiar scriptures and quotes, but while you're standing, if you'd like to turn with me over to 1 Peter, we'll read a little verse of scripture, and then you can be seated. Amen. Just a talk a little bit about his goodness to us this evening. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, we're going to read that 7th verse, in a very simple little verse, but casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. I was just thinking of that little scripture, just meditating and praying, asking the Lord what we could bring this evening, and was just thinking about this, how good God really is to us and how gracious he's been. And you know, and we may look around and maybe we're going through some tough trials right now. Maybe life is not as easy as we think it maybe could be. But God knows what's best for us all the way down the line. And he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And when we go back into God's precious word, and just wanted to read some scriptures and then read some things the prophet said this evening, I won't hold you very long, but place these things in our hearts and praying that God will take it and strengthen us. Each one of us, saints, are facing different situations and different places in life, but God knows he allows every situation to happen that comes our way. Our footsteps to the righteous ordained of God. He knows before I take the next step where I'm going to step and what's going to be there. And you know, you think about Joshua when God told him, every foot of ground your footsteps on, I've given it unto thee. And oh my, what a confidence Joshua must have had. And God told him, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. And don't be dismayed. For I'm with you wherever you go. And my, what a confidence he must have had. And what an assurance it must have placed in his heart. And each day as he traveled, knowing that he wasn't walking alone in all the situations he faced, the mighty battles, the many circumstances of life, and knowing with a confidence that Jesus Christ was there with him. And oh my, what a place to stand. Over here in Matthew, the 6th chapter, we'll read a verse of scripture and start here about the 26th verse of the 6th chapter, book of Matthew. If you want to follow along, you can. And Jesus speaking, he said, or we'll back up to the 25th verse. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And as you look out here at nature, God places them, all these animals that are around us, and we see the fowls, we see the birds, we see all this wildlife. God never fails to take care of them. The summertime, they've got their nice thin coats to keep them cool. The wintertime, their coats thicken up, and it's keeping them warm. And there's always food for them to eat, even when times are tough and the wet. Maybe we haven't had the best crop of nuts and berries and things for them to eat, but God always sees them through. And they're always so pretty. The cardinals are always so brilliantly red. And God in nature, when you look and see just how well he takes care of them, and they dwell in his place, the place that he placed them, and they dwell so perfectly in nature. And when we think of that, but he goes on to say, are ye not much better than they? His blood purchased. Think of that. He shed his own blood that for forgiveness of our sins, to redeem us, that we could come back. Just think how much he must think of you and of I. And what, how humble that ought to make us to think that as we sing the little song, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? And as we read these scriptures, we should let them come alive to us more and with a reality of what God has done for us. In the 27th verse, he says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye? O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. And sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But I just want you to notice that he knows what we have need of. And his writing to us was, seek ye first the kingdom, and all these other things shall be added unto you. We don't have to worry, and we don't have to fret. He never promised I would have all I wanted. He said I'd have all I needed. And he's never failed to meet the needs that we have. And he's ever mindful of us. And sometimes we get focused so much on looking more at the carnal side of that, thinking, well, he's made sure I've got a roof over my head and I got shoes on my feet and I got food on my table. Yes, he provides all of those things. But look more at the spiritual side of what God so graciously has given us and prepared for us and so graciously placed a desire down in our heart that causes a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, that causes us to want to read these precious words and to study what he said and to go back and, as he sent the prophet in this hour, how we have a desire to go back and to read those things and to listen to what he said and to see what Jesus Christ, the message that was being delivered to that little bride, and what a love story it creates in our heart. And you know, We should look more on that and think more of that than anything. It don't matter what I have naturally, but as long as spiritually I've got the food that I need to hold me and to sustain me and cause me to grow, what a joy that ought to place in my heart as I see that God has so graciously watched over us. And each one of us, we can look back down through our lives and see different places and different times. Maybe where we were going through a dry spell or things were changing, and how God has so graciously just guided our footsteps, brought us from this place into that place and from there to here and over to there to make sure that we were always getting the nourishment that we needed to be just like Him. And oh, He's ever so mindful of us, saints, and how we should be so thankful and so appreciative for what He's doing for us. And yes, we may in this natural life face some hardships. We might face some tough times as we age. Our bodies are breaking down and old age steals on, or might be young and have, you know, we might run into all kinds of natural problems. But it's all just here to be a hindrance to try to keep us from reaching that place where Jesus said we would be, in that image of Him, conformed to the image of His Son, and to see every action declare Jesus Christ. And that's why we should be so thankful that as we gather around God's precious word, there's a desire burning to see every word made manifest and vindicated back through us. For it's not what we can do in ourselves. Jesus said, "No man can come to me unless the Father which sent me draw him. And at that last day, I shall raise him up." And how we should be so thankful for that draw. And you know, some of us sitting here, we've been serving the Lord a long time, and maybe that draw was a long time ago, but maybe I'm a young person, middle-aged person sitting here or listening by way of recording, and there's still a draw in my heart. How I should feed that draw with all that's in me and nurture it, because it's not given to so very many people. And how we can see as God sparingly give out the desire to hunger for Him, to thirst for Him. And if we have a little bit of that draw in our heart, oh my, how we should cry out to Him, "Lord, fan the flames and let it become a burning ember in our hearts and in our lives, that we would be a reflection of Him." Over here in Psalms, the 34th chapter, reads the way David put it here a couple different places. I think it's Psalms 34. It's in Psalms 34, it was, or I'm sorry, fit Psalms 55 first, verse 22, David speaking, and he said, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee, and He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And all these scriptures should become such a consolation to us. But here in the 34th chapter, we'll read David speaking, and we'll start here about the, we'll start about the 7th verse of the 34th chapter. "The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, and hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good, and seek peace and pursue it. And the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Just think of that, David. And look at what David suffered and went through. Look at all the afflictions he had. And being, God had given him, set him aside to be king. And all those things, but look at all that he suffered and went through during that time. Many afflictions on all sides, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all of his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate righteous shall be desolate. But the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And oh, what a consolation we should have, and it gives us to know that he's watching over you and me. And every day that we walk, every step that we take, he's right there beside us. It doesn't matter what we're facing. Maybe we seem to be going through a valley, or maybe we seem to be on the mountain. It don't matter where we are. He is in control. And you know, as we grow older and travel in the Lord more, and I'm sure those of you that are much older than I am can also speak to that and to see that the more you trust him, and as I think the sister sing a little song, the more that I trust him, the sweeter he grows. And each day it begets a closer walk with him. There's more trust for what he can do, that he's always there. Don't worry about tomorrow. He'll be there to take care of it. And he's always mindful of each and every one of us. And he's ever so blessed us with his precious word. Yes, we might come in one service and come in and the word of the Lord comes as chastisement. But that's his love to us, showing just how much he does love us and nurtures us. It's the same as a natural parent does to an earthly child. And how, as we see these things taking place around us, what a joy it ought to bring to our hearts to see that God is ever mindful and ever watching over us and keeping us and taking care. Brother Branham, in the message, Will the Church Go Before the Tribulation, preached March 9th, 1958, he put it like this in here. He said, "Some time ago, it was my privilege to visit India. And just before I come to India, they had a great earthquake. And I was reading in the newspapers in India that how about 2 days before that earthquake come, they seemed to know that something was wrong. And all the little birds that live in the crevices in the big buildings lived along the great stone walls. And much of India has stone walls. And all the little birds that had their nest in those crevices left the walls. And all the cattle that usually stood around the big buildings in the afternoon in the shade and around the great stone walls for about 2 days before that earthquake, all of these animals and little birds went out in the middle of the field to stand. You see, there was something about it that God was taking care of his little birds and his little animals. And you know, the same God that directed them into the ark in the early days when they was destroyed by water at the preaching of Noah, that same God still lives and reigns today, and he has control of his beings. And I was thinking, if God was so mindful of his little birds and his cattle and sheep to take them away from destruction before it struck, how much more mindful of his children who has been born of his spirit, washed in his blood, he is mindful for them. And as he warned the little birds to go from their dwelling places, I truly believe that he's warning his people today. And as we see the great signs of his coming at hand, I believe that God is warning his people to come together and a great calling out in this last day. And by God's grace, I want you to notice how the Holy Spirit is always mindful and watching. You know, we might come in here one time and gather underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and our pastor may get up to bring the word, and it may come as a warning. And the word goes forth, and it may be at the time that it's coming, we sit here and we think, Lord, and we listen and we try to apply it and we look at that, but it may be a warning to something that's going to come in a month, 2 months, maybe a year. And the Holy Spirit always keeps us ready, and it keeps us made ready and made aware of what's happening around us. As Brother Branham preached the message, "Watchmen, what of the night?" And how we can truly see that Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us, always mindful of the devil's every trick and every snare that's out there. And as we see these men that rise up and fall away and put out these false claims and put all this stuff on the internet, and as the internet becomes more involved in trying to also take sides and fact check all of these things about the prophet, and all this continues to go on as we see that happening, how that we see God has raised up a standard against that. And God's word has been able to be printed and laid here fresh. And we don't have to worry and wonder, what did he say? What did he mean? But God made sure to put it on printed page. And he's always watched over it to make sure that we could read it and see exactly what that prophet said in this last day. We can go back into the scriptures and read what it said. And we don't have to depend on an interpretation of some man to try to guide us into what they think it is, as we see this continuing to change from day to day in this year 2021. And I always see people turning away, and this is what that meant, and this is what this means. But we can look into God's precious word, and the Holy Spirit is ever mindful. He said he would lead us and guide us into all truths. He said he wouldn't leave us comfortless, but he would come. And how thankful we should be when we can see that presence of the Holy Spirit anointing his precious word and anointing our hearts to the word to believe it and to hold fast those things which we've been heard and been taught by the precious Holy Ghost. Brother Branham speaking here, this was in the message. This was in the message. It was actually in the Church Age book, the Sumerian Church Age, and it's in chapter 4, and I didn't write down the actual page number, but you'll remember as I start to read it. The cloudy skies and the storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. Neither are bright skies and still waters signs of his love and approval. His approval of any of us is only in the beloved. And his love is elective, which he had for us before the foundation of the world. Does he love us? Oh, yes. But how shall we know? We shall know because he said so and manifested that he did love us. For he brought us to himself and gave us of his spirit, placing us as sons. How shall I prove my love to him? By believing what he said and by conducting myself with joy amidst the trials that he in his wisdom allows to come to pass. I know thy poverty, but thou art rich. And there it is again. See him walking up and down in the midst of his church like a father. He's looking down upon his family. He is the head of the household. He is the provider. He is the protector. And yet he looks on that as looks on their poverty. And oh, how the untutored believer stumbles at that. How can God bear to look upon his own in a time of need and not just stop it all and just give in and lavish everything material upon them? But to think that he's walking up and down there, looking, watching us, seeing what's happening. And you know, I think of Job, as many people, when they begin to serve the Lord, sometimes they think it's going to be a bed of roses. They think that serving the Lord, that everything's just fine and nothing will befall them. No circumstances of life can come their way. But when you look back at Job and all that God allowed to happen, he allowed Satan to touch him, his things that he owned and his children and all that took place. But yet to prove out that God is the love of God is stronger than any material thing. It's stronger than any circumstance of life. And it held Job through those times. And it'll hold the true believer today, even as we see it held the prophet in his great time and hour of need and stress when he lost his wife and his baby. And it seemed like God had turned his back on him and it was a quiet time and God didn't seem like God was listening to him. But yet something down on the inside that God had placed there, oh my, it held through the storms of life. And it gave him the strength that he needed to endure. And oh my, not in that his strength wasn't in himself, but that Jesus, the Christ, was sustaining him in the inside. So he goes on here, he says, here is where you have to believe again in the love and the goodness and the wisdom of God. This too is needful. Remember, he admonished, take no thought for the morrow, what shall you eat or shall put on? Your Father knoweth the things that ye have need of. And he who clothes the lily and feeds the sparrow shall do much more for you. These physical things are not the true basic necessities of your life. For a man's life consisteth not of the things he possesses, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all material necessities will be added unto you. Necessities. Amen. God's never failed to see that we had what we had need of through this life. He says, the physical things are not the true man's life because it's not possessed, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all material necessities will be added unto you. The people of God are not material minded. They are Christ minded. They do not seek the treasures that are below, but they seek those above. It is absolutely true the majority of Christians are not wealthy, rather they are on the poor side. It was so in Jesus' day, it was true in Paul's day, and it should be true today. Oh, it is not the abundance of earthly, it is not true today, for the Laodicean age is one of the vast wealth where often the criterion of spirituality is an abundance of earthly goods. My, how rich the church is in goods, but how poor in the spirit. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is not material. It is within us. A rich man is rich in God and not in worldly things. And oh, cries the Spirit, I see your poverty. I see your need. You haven't very much, if anything, to boast of. But what you did have has been taken from you, and you gladly gave up your possessions in exchange for eternal ones. You're laughed at and you're scorned. You don't have material resources to fall back on. But you are rich in spite of it all. and your security. Amen. I'm so glad that my security lies in Him who is your shield and exceeding great reward. And your kingdom is yet to come, but it will come. And it will be an everlasting one. Yes, I am mindful of your trials and woes. And I know how hard it is to get along. But I will remember all of this when I return to claim you as my own. And then I will reward you. And oh, what a consolation, what a praise and a thanksgiving we ought to have. To know that, yes, maybe my body's failing and I don't have the strength that I once had. And maybe I see different pieces and parts falling apart. And maybe I'm not wealthy. Maybe I just barely have those things to sustain and get me by in this life. But to be able to look into God's precious word and see the riches that He's bestowed upon me, how great a praise ought to be in my heart. For thank you, Lord, that you saw me in your great mind before there was a moon or a star, and that you've placed that love in my heart, that desire that no matter what, I want Jesus Christ to be first in my life and in my heart and everything about I have no value on the things that I have in this life that He's blessed us to use. But all my love is for Him, and the value that I have is on the things that He has given me in my heart and in my life, and the revelation of His precious word and the revealing that He's so graciously bestowed upon us. Here in the message, The Resurrection of Jesus, this was preached April 5th, 1956. He says, and if you notice, it's when you're discouraged, that's when the devil can really pour it on you. And how we can look back into the life of the men of old in this Bible and also look back at Brother Branham's life and see how this statement was made true. In the lowest times, as Samson, his eyes put out and sitting in that old jail down there, and Satan right there tormenting him. And tormenting him all the time, but he began to feel those locks back on the back of his neck. And oh my, even though Satan was there trying to discourage him and trying to disrupt God's plan at that time, how God always makes sure that He comes through. We've seen it in the prophet, as the prophet was down and so out, as he was so burdened at the time. But yet through that, Jesus Christ, the typos of the soul, pulled him through that and brought it right back that God's will would be performed through his life. And you can see that in all the men. Paul being beheaded and Peter being crucified, but Jesus Christ being the greatest riches they had ever had and how it sustained them and it pulled them through, and there was their greatest praise and glory was to him. And oh my, how we should be so much. The things that we don't even truly have to suffer. We don't go through near the test and trial some of these others have went through. But oh my, sometimes we should never be discouraged. As he goes on to say here, he says, it's when you're discouraged, that's when the devil can really pour it on you. That's when he gets you. If you come to the church and say, well, I don't know. I don't know whether I'll ever get any better or not. I've been prayed for twice. Oh my, you might as well go home. That's all. But when you can cast that aside, God don't want you to be frowning. God wants you to be happy. The human heart was made to be happy. Worry will cause cancer. Temper will cause cancer. Don't never be upset. Just walk in His love, amen, knowing that you're walking in Him and nothing can harm you. There's nothing can harm you. There are neither powers, things present, things future. Nothing can separate us from Him. We're in Him and we've never come in by our own will. He, by choice, elected us and brought us into Him. Amen. So it's His business to take care of what He's took Himself. And no man can pluck them from my Father's hand, because He's the greatest of all of them. Amen. It's the Father who takes care of it. Who's got any more power than God? So what kind of a power you have got over you to take care of you? The whole powers that created the universe, amen, that took the solar system and said, phew, and blew like that, and every star went to its place, sure. And He watches over you. That's the kind of Father we have. And oh, I'm so thankful that as we see time winding down, I don't worry and fret about what's in the news. I don't worry and fret about what's going on around me. Am I going to have a job? Is the stock market going to crash? Are they going to throw my money away? As Brother Branham said, you'll be able to paper the walls with it. Do I fret and worry and stew over those things? Absolutely not. Because I know He's watching over me and He's got a place prepared for us. And by God's grace, He's going to see that we reach that place that He's prepared for us. Here in the message, this was in the message, Be Certain of God. And a couple pages here, just wanted to catch this. praying that it'll strengthen someone. He says, paragraph 37, he said, I believe maybe we would think, and he was talking about the little Shunammite woman with the son, and they Elijah stopped by and told him to make him a cake. He says, I believe maybe we think perhaps this, that she had prayed all night long for one more day. Settled it. She could look at that pale lips of her little boy about 3 or 4 years old, and she could see her own bones dwindling away. As the flesh was going from them, it must have been a terrible thing as this mother, seeing these things going, and yet with her hands before God praying day and night. And now we're down to one handful of meal and a spoonful of oil. And you know, it's a strange thing. May God let this soak in to every one of you. If you never hear me preach again, let this be a message. It's strange, most strange, that sometimes that God does things that way. You know, when we have confessed our sins and met every requirement that God requires, we believed on God. There's a circumstance that has to be met, and it's according to His will. And we've confessed our sins, and we've made all of our wrongs that we have did right and done everything we know how to do. Every requirement that God has made or asked, we have met that requirement, and yet He lays silent and just won't answer us. I'm sure that I'm speaking to people this morning who has come to that place. I've been there many times myself. When I went back and traced my life and turned over every stone and I find that I did something wrong, I'd go confess it and say, Lord God, I'll make it right. And go do so. And then come back again and say, now Lord, Thou art God. You'll answer me. Surely I've met every request that You required me to do. And every requirement I've met it, Lord. And still He won't move, seems to sit silent. And that's when you've got to be sure that He is God. Don't be discouraged. The only thing is that in your heart, to be certain of God. In my text, be certain first before you do anything. Be certain in your heart that it's God. And when you've met everything that He said, then you're sure that He's God. That's when faith goes to work right there. And faith stands steady, for it knows that He is. And you've met every requirement. You believe that He is, and faith holds steady. Oh, blessed be His name. Faith won't move, for it's sure that God is, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And may this go way down deep and never move from you, Branham Tabernacle. If you've met God's requirements and in your heart you believe that He is, God is only testing your faith, for He loves to do that. You've confessed your sin and you've met every requirement that God requires, and still He lays silent. Remember, faith says that He is. And then faith holds on to it, not knowing what it's all about, but it knows that He is, and it's certain that He is. Then remember, if He is, His words has to be true. And if He required you to meet these circumstances, and you did, He is obligated to take care of His word. Don't back off and say, well, I never got healed. Oh, you poor, weak in faith, don't believe that. If everything is confessed and everything is out and you've met God's requirement, faith holds right there. There's nothing will move it. He is, and you're sure. That they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. And they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. Wait. When you've met His requirement, that brings your faith to a showdown. If you have met God's requirements has been made or met, and you have fully considered it, and you have done everything that God required you to do, then your faith rests right there He is. Be certain of God. You know He loves to test us, and He loves to see the reaction of your faith. Did you know that? God likes to see how you'll react. When you say, oh Lord, I believe You. Thou art my Savior. I believe that You are the healer. And I believe that You are the one who gives the Holy Spirit and the things that I'm requiring. You are the God who gives that. And then when you'll confess all of your sins and promise God what you'll do if He will let you get well, then because it don't happen, you run off like a coward somewhere. God can't use that. There's no way for Him to use you. There's no way for Him to answer you because He only answers by faith. Then all of a sudden you go away and He can't answer. But real true faith stands there being sure that God is. Be certain that He is. And if God asks these things to be done, to confess your sins and so forth, and you've done it, faith says that He is. It's certain that things is going to happen. Your request has to be granted. Oh, I hope you don't miss that. And that scripture If your heart condemns you not, ask what you will and you shall have it. Oh, saints, may we let these things that we've heard over the past 2 years sink deep into our hearts and to grab a hold of and ask God to reveal it to us in such a way that that faith would be built up in us. Not if I say, Brother Branham said, but if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and cast this in, doubt it not, into your heart you shall have what you've asked for. He said, but I hope you don't miss that. If you are sure of God and God is sure of his word, he's only waiting to test you. He did it many times, and let's rehearse one or two cases, he says. Let's think of the Hebrew children. They wasn't to bow to an idol, and God had confidence in them. And when they heard they had to go to that fiery furnace, they said, our God is able to deliver us from this furnace. But if he doesn't do it, we're not bowing to any of your idols. See, they were sure and certain of God. And by God's grace, I pray that this word is making us just that steadfast and sure. I don't care what anyone says about it. I don't care what somebody thought is on it. If God said it, let me anchor my soul on the thus saith the Lord. It's right there. And to hold steadfast to the word which been delivered to us. And it will see us through, saints. Amen. But oh, don't be discouraged if maybe you're praying about something and the answer just doesn't seem to come. But oh, be certain of God that he will answer in due time. And he will answer and meet it according to his will. And it will work out for your good when it does. And my, may we truly be convinced that when we look around and see all that he's done for us, what a love that ought to place in our hearts for him, and what an assurance it ought to place in our hearts to hold fast the testimony of our faith and to stand firm on his precious word, no matter what the circumstance looks like. But oh my, we must do, as Brother Branham put it and stressed it, make sure you've met all of the requirements. Do everything he said to do, and then to stand there and wait for God to fulfill the promise to you. Oh, may we be strong in faith, and may we truly be a people that love him with all of our hearts, and let our whole lives be centered to him and his precious word in all things, I pray. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Just a small exhortation for a Thursday evening, but just praying that it'll strengthen someone and help someone in their journey. As we all are on a journey, saints, and some of us have maybe been running longer than others, but God's precious word will strengthen each and every one of us at the time. But oh my, may we truly give God the glory and the credit for everything. Amen. If you'd like to stand with me, if you would, let's just sing that little chorus, I'm a child of the King. Amen. Before we dismiss. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, I'm a child of the King. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows. Child of the King. Amen. Aren't you glad to know, amen, that he's watching over us, saints? Amen. I'm so thankful that God is ever mindful, and he knows every situation. He knows every valley. He knows every hill. But oh, hold fast the testimony of your faith. He is certain to deliver us. Amen. Let's just bow our heads as we go to him. Precious Lord, we are always thankful when we can come and gather And Lord, I'm not the best speaker in the world, or Lord, the most elegant person, but Lord, it's your word that we came to hear, not my voice, Lord, or what I have to say. And Lord, I pray that as we've rehearsed and stirred up our minds by way of remembrance of the things that you've spoken to us, Lord, that it was able to stir someone's heart, and may it help someone. Lord, there's many that may be seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord. There may be some that realize they truly need it, Lord, and it's what they need in their heart and in their life. And Lord, that's what's going to make the difference for them. And Lord, you've placed a desire in there to hunger and thirst for you, Lord. And oh, may we feed it, Lord. Don't try to fill it up with things of this world, Lord, or try to let other things crowd in and to take it. But Lord, if you're drawing on our hearts, may we feed it with all that's in us. And Lord, hold fast and to run to meet all of the requirements that you've set forth. And to stand there, Lord, and to seek you with diligence. And to seek you first. And all these other things, Lord, will fall into place. But Lord, we just pray that you'll take your precious word and let it find good ground in each of our hearts. And Lord, as I read these things and was reminiscing through what some of the things the prophet had said, Lord, how it stirs my heart. And Lord, I pray to, as I was praying, that you would make this Bible, Lord, a reality and a total book and a life lived in my heart and life, Lord. Not something we talk about and something that we read and we just gather in for another church service. But Lord, to see the vindication of the life of Jesus Christ made manifest in this mortal body. That Lord, others could see that there's a light glowing. And may want a taste, Lord, of what's burning in our hearts and in our lives. And may we be a light, Lord, in this dark and dying world, that someone might see that there's a glimmer of hope, Lord, if they would just see something in us that would cause them, Lord, to say, I just want what you have. May we live in such a way that others would come to know Christ because they've seen him in our lives and in our hearts and the works that he's done through us. Lord, nothing we've done in ourselves and none of our merits, but all what you have done. And Lord, we just pray again for those that couldn't be here, that you would bless them, strengthen them. Those that are sick, Lord, touch their bodies. And bless Brother Pitts, Lord, as he travels back home. Keep him safe upon the highways, Lord, and just watch over him. And bring us back if you should tarry at the next appointed time. And we'll come hungry, Lord, asking you to feed us and to give us of your precious word. And we thank you for it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus one day at a time. As we're dismissed, amen. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Oh, yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. You're all dismissed.